Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Tatty, 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 tatty. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Top of the morning to you. The Phoenix Suns, they had a game today against the Milwaukee Bucks. But unfortunately, the Phoenix Suns didn't know that. They didn't show up for the first half, allowing the Milwaukee Bucks to go absolutely butt-fucking apeshit from beyond the arc, setting a record for most three-pointers set in a half with 18 jumpsters. 18, I tell ye. Matthew, that was ugly.
What's up, dude? Am I on?
You're on.
Am I good? Oh, okay. Welcome hey, happy St. Patty's Day. I didn't even know. I went to go eat breakfast today, and everyone was dressed up at Biscuits over there. So
I was like,
John's going to be putting on a show today. And I knew the accent was going to come out, but I didn't think it would be that early. So I'm loving it already. You know, you already made me forget about this terrible loss, John. Thank you.
Started the podcast right away. Here's one thing that I found kind of interesting is the Suns are playing the Milwaukee Bucks today. On St. Patrick's Day, this is a team whose primary color is green.
Yeah.
And they wore blue.
Very strange.
Why didn't they wear their green jerseys? That's bad marketing.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they want to pinch each other. Maybe they get a little crazy in the locker room. I don't know. Maybe that's why. A reason to touch each other.
I'll tell you what. Maybe they were afraid that, well, I don't know. Because if you're wearing green, you don't get pinched. Because they weren't. But they weren't wearing green, so you think the Suns would try to pinch them, but the Suns were like, well, we're not going to touch them. We're not going to guard them. They're going to get to do whatever they want today. It's a green day. This is their day, so we'll let them do whatever they want. So a disappointing loss for the Phoenix Suns. We're going to talk about it here on the Suns GM Session podcast. I don't know how long we're going to be on today. I might put in as much effort on this show as the Suns put in on defense. I was using the word like swashbuckling, I think. A couple games ago, or last game.
Okay.
I don't remember. This was just a good old fashioned just kick in the teeth, and I think I'd be more frustrated. But I talked about acceptance and how I just know that this team ain't it, and it's just you go out and you see these games, and you're like, hey, you're just fortifying my point, Suns. As great as an offense as you quote unquote can be, defensively. Lost in the sauce, and that sauce is a nice little mustard sauce that goes on your corned beef and cabbage today. So again, if you're joining us, thanks for doing so. Hit the thumbs up button on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, support the show in any manner that you see fit. Just you watching this is supporting the show, so we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to do so. And again, if you're listening, that's supporting as well. Suns Jam Session podcast, wherever you get your podcast. So I will be drinking Guinness, but it's what the hell is somebody landing a plane outside?
Bunch of leprechauns house? On their little bikes out there, you know, they're tearing down the place, burning down Chandler Boulevard behind me.
They sounded like a leprechaun ripping ass down Chandler Boulevard. Yeah. Yep. You know, they had a little too much cabbage,
big ass butts.
I will be drinking Guinness later. It is only 12:30 as we record this, so it's a diet Dr. Pepper for me. And let's try to understand what we just experienced. /129 The Phoenix Suns did not look very good today. Did have a couple runs in there when Bradley Beal tried to get this team back in it, but overall they did not look good. Real quick, creepy crawly in the chat. So did you steal one of Jake's shirts? I don't know if he's talking to you or me.
No, I think it's you guys do wear the same shirts.
Well, I you know me. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
With three-quarter shirts.
But I have them in every color. As I read that, I'm like, yeah, I think Jake wears the same type of shirts. So I don't know who did it first. I'm sure he probably looks up to you, but I'm sure he's watching right now. So let us know like who actually started wearing those shirts first.
I have these in like every color, which is embarrassing. My wife makes fun of me for it. Did not mean to do that.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I've got to ask. It's been burning in my brain since this game started. 10 a.m. start on a Sunday. What are you normally doing at 10 a.m. on a Sunday?
I don't know. It's always really random, man. I don't know. What do you usually do? I mean, usually my Sundays, I want to just kind of do nothing.
Yes.
But it's like my one rest day kind of, but it's not really like that anymore.
Seventh day, Matthew rested.
What do you do? What are you doing right now? Usually I'm usually going to biscuits or something. I did that earlier than normal. So,
well, 10 a.m. if it's football season, you know where I'm at. I'm watching football for 8 hours all day long, posted up on the couch, 10 a.m. when the game starts, I'm locked in. But typically it's when I write. I do a lot of writing early morning on the weekends for Bright Side of the Sun. So Saturday morning and Sunday morning is when I start to put together some thoughts, take a look at some things about the Suns that I want to talk about and post on the website. So it's good. Like I'm flipping my day today because I'll be doing my writing a little bit later tonight after I have a couple Guinnesses. So if you want to read some fun stuff at Bright Side tomorrow, have some Guinness thoughts by John. But a weird start for the Suns, considering it's a 10 a.m. game. It's the last game of a four-game road trip in which we've faced three of the top three Eastern Conference opponents, the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now a Giannis-less Milwaukee Bucks team. And the Suns came out, and they just get smoked from beyond the arc. I don't know where to start, Matthew. Where should we start? What should I say? I don't know what to do. What do I do with my hands? Where do I put these
things? I mean,
how are you feeling after watching that? Like, let's just go there. Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Where's your head at?
Well, here we go. Let's talk about it again. My head's at, you know, the two guys you kind of want to see as the leaders of the team, the two guys that you want to count on in this game just weren't there again, and Booker and Kevin Durant. In big situations, the game, the whole game, really. So I saw a lot of good things from Grayson Allen, from Bradley Beal, you know, guys that you can actually trust in a big game situation. Those guys continue to come through. Overall, when it comes down to the threes, it's like, you know, hands in the face, it happens sometimes. The Suns contest at times, but the rotations are bad to start the game. That's the thing is to start the game, it's terrible, right? The crisscrossing of the defense, not finding your guy. Eubanks comes in the game. Gets Bobby Portis wide open shots for him to continue to stay hot, get 31 points in this game. But it's not, then they start to contest more in the second, and then the third quarter is better defense. But by then, it's just like you can see on the Suns the lack of confidence they have in themselves. The Bucks can feel that. They know like the Suns don't have any answers. They really don't. They find themselves down this much early in the game, they know they can't come back. They don't have the guys to step up and make big plays and continue to beat down on that 20-point lead, the 25-point lead, because they just don't have it all around. They have a guy once in a while. Tonight it was Bradley Beal. Today was Bradley Beal. But overall, like, you can feel that off the Suns. You can feel like, hey, like, defensively, they're not going to try. They're going to keep their head down. They're going to give up. And it just looks like they continue to give up in these situations. And it's like, oh, wait, you're only down by seven? It's like, well, why didn't you just fucking try in the first half? So I don't know what that is. They don't have the true leader, but they need that to start the game. And they got to figure that out quickly. Otherwise, the season's over. And what sucks really quick is I was looking at the standings. It's like, we do have to make the playoffs. I was thinking, like, what if we just miss the playoffs? That'd be nice not to deal with it. It's like, we're going to have to make it. Otherwise, the Rockets are going to make it. You know that's not going to happen. So we're going to at least be the 10th seed this year.
So it was an interesting start to the game because the Suns scored 36 points in the first quarter and they looked crisp, right? Grayson Allen, as you mentioned, he had 12 points. Devin Booker had 8 and he had a solid start. Bradley Beal had a couple. Yusuf Nurkic had 6 points and 4 rebounds and 3 assists. KD was 2 of 3 for 4 points. They looked good, but defensively, they were allowing the Bucks to get whatever shot they want. The Bucks went 7-14 from deep in that first quarter and scored 39 points. And you're like, okay, the Suns' strategy, as we know this year, is going to have to be, we are going to have to outscore the opponent, plain and simple. And given the offensive firepower we possess, is it sustainable? No. Is it plausible to do on occasion? Yes. It kind of harkens back to the series against the Denver Nuggets in the second round of last year's playoffs. We have a couple fire flame throwing sons of bitches in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. So we'll get a game or two against anybody because you can't hold those guys down. But in the long run, because the Suns suck at defense, it's not sustainable. You give up 39 points, and then in the second quarter, the Suns only score 24 points, and they allow 43, and that's the ballgame. Now, granted, the Milwaukee Bucks shoot insane. They go 11 of 13 from three in the second quarter alone, 84.6%. They shoot 18 of 27 from beyond the arc. Acceptance, right? Like, that's what I achieved a couple weeks ago when I said, you know what? I've accepted that this team ain't it. Doesn't mean I don't get frustrated. And I'll try to be as even keeled as I can when I provide my observations on this game. Too often we're saying those words. And the opposing team shot the lights out. They had the best shooting night of their season. The Boston Celtics made 25 three-pointers against us. It's the third time this season they've done that. There's a reason why. The reason why is because the Suns suck at defense. Period. Frank Vogel, defensive coach, my fucking elbow. No. It's unacceptable. No grit. No heart. No give a shit. That's what this team has on defense. We know that this team has to outscore the opponent. It feels like they know that too. So why play defense? Why communicate? Why try to close out appropriately on three-point shooters? Fuck, in the second quarter, they just stopped putting their hands up. I don't know how if anyone else saw it. Numerous possessions, they're just like, fuck, I'm not even going to put my hand up. What's the point? Because they were so mentally defeated on that side of the floor. I'm tired. I don't care how good our offense can be. It doesn't matter. Our defense is subpar. And everyone who's saying fire Vogel, Jesus Christ on the cross. It's not going to happen. We're 60-something games into the season. The offseason, it's plausible. And when the season comes to an end, we will talk about it. We will talk about what it's like to have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal on a team and to come in as a defensive-minded coach, quote-unquote, and to perform in this manner. There will be a day of reckoning this offseason, but you don't do it after a loss on the road in Milwaukee in the 66th game of the season. It's just not how it works, and it's not the message you want to send to anybody you're trying to hire, right? Hey, if you fuck up a little bit, you're gone midseason. Don't get comfortable. You don't want that culture. I've accepted that this team ain't it. Doesn't mean I'm not frustrated. It was a poor performance. No Giannis, and you let bug-eyed Bobby fucking Portis go off for 31 points off the bench. It's embarrassing. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah. What adjustments do we make though in that kind of situation? Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, the whole firing. So I did tweet out, like, you know what, maybe he should be fired after 18 threes. Like, again, this is continuing to be a thing. Like, I always point in the direction of the players. It's on them. It's on their shoulders to really turn this team around. Vogel can only do so much. But then when you look at those players, like Beal, are like Booker and Kevin Durant, and their body language on the court, where they're just like, they give up, man. Like,
yes,
Booker, the look in his eyes, the look in KD, when you're just looking at him, just his head down when I think Damian Lillard's shooting a free throw, and you just see him standing behind the three-point line, just standing there, and he's looking off into space, looking through the crowd, just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, him and Booker know, in their eyes, you can tell the way they're thinking is like, this team doesn't have enough, and that's what they continue to think throughout this game. They're like, this team is not enough to win a championship. This team is not enough. But then wait, we're only down by 7 now in the fourth, so we had a chance to come back. Mm-hmm. But that's led by a guy like Beal, who just kind of feels like when Beal's out there, like he doesn't give a fuck. He's just like, well, you knew what you got when you got me, right? Like I'm an injured guy. I'm going to come in. I'm going to give good energy. And I'm going to give a, I don't give a fuck. And that kind of energy kind of spreads a little bit where it's just like, okay, well, we actually have a chance. Booker and Beal Booker and KD are so much in their own heads.
Agreed.
It looks like during the game where it's just like, they give up so early. It was like, oh, like, let's go. Let's like, let's try to run this offense. Oh, here's Grayson Allen too. He gives a fuck. So those guys continue to try to build something throughout the game where it just always looks like Booker and KD like give up so early. And so it's like it's a halftime, dude. Like Frank Vogel was saying in the second half, he's like, we've came back from 29 down in 9 minutes against the Kings. So it is possible. That is the Kings, though. The Kings do that all the time.
Yes.
But it is possible, but you shouldn't be down that much. You guys have to pick each other up earlier in the game and just stop that nonsense of Bobby Porter going off and then them hitting just wide open threes, not contesting, like stand the fuck up and be a leader. And I kind of agreed with Kendrick Perkins at halftime. I know it was a terrible halftime show.
It was.
But he's like, we need Kevin Durant. This is what we want from him, to be a leader. And he's just absolutely not that. I understand. But that the way he just holds himself non-accountable and just doesn't hold players accountable, it bleeds into everything else we're trying to do on the offensive end, to where no one believes in themselves. And they look at Kevin Durant, they look at Booker, it's like, you guys, I just don't believe in them at all to do anything. And it's a hard thing to watch. And I think Beal and Grayson Allen, as of late, I can feed into what they're kind of bringing to this team, and I can believe in them more than those other guys. It's sad to say, but that's how I feel.
Well, it's the same goes for Booker as well, correct? I mean, KD will hang his head, but Booker will become disengaged. He'll start just kind of, floating around out there, and understands, because he's been a part of so many losing teams, he understands what losing looks like. And he's just like, you know what, it ain't it in this game. So let's just get through it and get on to the next one. And you can have that mentality in the regular season, but how you practice and how you play in the regular season translates to the postseason. Unfortunately for the Suns, it's not going to be pretty. And it's funny how the script has flipped in just a couple games for you on Bradley Beal, right? A couple games ago with Bradley Beal, you weren't very that much of a fan of what he was bringing to the team. And now he's one of the only ones who is accountable out there. He's the only one who in the post games, you're hearing him be frustrated, like the win, which felt like a loss, the win against the Charlotte Hornets. He was like, dude, we played like shit, but you know, a win's a win, but man, we got to be better. You know, like you're getting that real isms from him. You're getting that genuinality from him, where with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, they need to be leaders. But here's my frustration. Do you have anything to say on that as I go back to kind of the coaching side of it?
No, the only thing I have to say is, the post-game press conferences with KD in the locker room, whatever, those are hard to hear too, because all he does is kind of complain about the double teams. I don't know what to do. I don't know. This guy's who was the center that hit 2 games ago? Horford. He hit 9 threes or whatever. Can't do much with that. It's like, but Beal is honest. He's real. He understands that this team does suck. And KD and Booker just kind of deflect that. We got to do better, but we'll figure it out or something. You know what I mean? It's so fucking fake to me where I can't stand it, where you get a lot of realness. And now I'm starting to see it with Beal even more and more every game.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Now, here's where, and I agree with you, it comes down to the players on the court and how they execute. But what they're supposed to be executing is the defensive scheme instilled by the head coach. And Frank Vogel said it about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, to where he's like, I feel like the team's finally starting to understand the defensive scheme. In fact, it was last week he had an interview with John Bloom pregame before the Cleveland game. And one of the things that Vogel said was, it takes time. to understand a defensive scheme. It's very complex. Offense is one thing, but defense is very complex and very hard to instill into players, let alone a team that had a complete flip, roster flip, 13 new faces, and then midseason they got rid of four more, right? So there's plenty of opportunity to grow on defense, and he feels like they're finally starting to get it. But that being said, the Suns look so lost on defense. Those, like you said, the defensive rotations, the closeouts, understanding where each other are on the floor. Understand, I saw plays where KD was passing players on and then realized he shouldn't be passing them because there's no one to pass them to. Like, they don't know where each other are defensively on the court. And what happens there? It leaves players wide open. And when you have teams, and we knew this coming in, we knew that this team, the Milwaukee Bucks, were ready and willing to fire away from beyond the arc. They shoot the fifth or the sixth most threes in the league. They make the fifth most. And from a percentage standpoint, they're 10th best in the league. So this is a three-point shooting team. Like Boston, they like to shoot the three a lot. And you leave them as open as you did, they're going to get wide open. And I find myself, after just writing a piece that came out yesterday on Brightside about how, listen, you can't pull Drew Eubanks for Thaddeus Young because you don't want to hurt his confidence as you prepare for the postseason, I find myself asking for Thaddeus Young today, because if you're going to play those small ball five lineups, that's what Thad Young's there for. Maybe he can lock up, maybe he can execute a defensive rotation. Drew Eubanks looked so fucking bad when he entered this game. It was embarrassing. He did not know where his defender was on back-to-back consecutive plays, leaving wide open three-point shooter on one side and Jay Crowder, and allowing, let's see, I wrote it down in my notes.
No, I wrote it too.
Yeah.
Three in a
lost
row.
Lost on an inbounds play, just not defending anyone on an inbound play for a layup.
Bobby Portis.
You know, and again, yeah, and I get why people are frustrated with Drew Eubanks and they're calling for Thad Young, and I was talking about it, and I have been talking about it recently, like the grass isn't always greener on the other side, because the other player could make the same mistakes and what have you. But we need him to execute on defense. We need him to stop being like Mr. Pink in Reservoir Dogs and stop tipping. Stop tipping. GRAB the damn ball. Stop tipping it. I'm just I'm hitting that breaking point where it's just,
yeah.
You know, I sit there and I watch and I hear the frustrations of the fan base. I'm like, well, hold on. Let's wait a minute. And then you see a couple plays like that and you're like, I get why people are saying it. I understand it.
Yeah, even like with Eubanks coming in. I mean, he had the Porter shot that was wide open. He just was, I don't know where he was looking. And then Crowder, he gives up a wide open lay-in. Like, that was the one frustrating part, is Crowder drove from the three-point line in the corner and he didn't even contest the three or the lay-in. Like, he just let him lay the ball up. It's like, what the fuck? At least foul.
Didn't even try. Yeah.
Didn't even try. And then after that, he's like, no help defense on Lillard. Like, he's just out by the perimeter. And, you know, I know Nurk only played the 20 minutes tonight and he was no help really defensively. But when Eubanks came in, you just noticed the difference even more. So it was a tough thing to watch, man. Defensively all over the place. But when the defense is already starting so bad, and you have guys coming in that still don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It is frustrating. So I don't know where it stops and ends with this team defensively.
None of us do. They don't know. And therein lies the challenge for the Suns moving forward, is we talk about identity. It's their identity is they are lost on defense, man. They are so, so very lost. And we as a fan base are lost as well, because the expectations are simple execution on some plays. And they're missing on simple execution. And there's only so much you can take before you just kind of want to pack it in and just be like, you know what? And that's why I said a couple weeks ago, man, acceptance, you know, like I accept it. This team ain't it. It's okay. You know, now I'll talk in a little Irish voice and it'll make me a little bit happier, I guess. You know, I'm just trying to find the silver linings and things, but I can't when the Suns just come out and play like absolute dog shit. I'll tell you some silver lining. Point Nurk. They were really using Nurk a lot earlier. They were running sets through him above the break. It was really nice to see, Matthew.
So is it the Ramadan thing? Is that why he's not playing? Like, he's just kind of weak. He looks thinner. You can tell the fasting thing is really, you know, made him look really nice and chiseled. But he's playing these games really tight defensively early on. And then offensively, like you said, they're running a lot of stuff through him and running screens. It looks really good early on and just kind of fades away. So I don't know if that's a part of it.
No, because Brook Lopez has only played 18 minutes. They realized they could small ball the shit out of the Suns and it would work tonight, and it did. So he pretty much matched all the minutes for Brook Lopez. Brook had 18 minutes. Nurkic had 20. You know, so that was kind of their strategy was, hey, if we're going to put in Bobby Portis and you're not going to guard him, and he's going to go 5 of 5 from deep and 13 of 20 from beyond the bark, from beyond the arc, and go for 31 points and 10 rebounds and 3 steals and 2 assists, you're going to let Bobby Portis do that? Guess what? You know, that's what you get. So Frank Vogel is in the chat. He does drop a $1.99. Thanks, Frank. Says, sorry, Jamsters, I need to be better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just got done talking about you, but thanks for joining. So that's the thing with this is what drives me nuts. We have a guy, Nurk, that we've been praising all year long that you can run the offense through. So we're basically playing and matching him up with Brook Lopez. Like, that's what we're doing. We don't just roll him out there because Lopez isn't playing. That's fucking stupid, dude. And it's the same thing with Bol Bol. Like, drives me crazy. Last game, I know stats look terrible, right? He came in, he had a great looking shot. Then he was like 0-for-5 the rest of the time. Then he's pulled. Tonight looked pretty good when he was in. Then he's pulled and stuff. Like, I'll stop with the Bol Bol thing. It's fine, but there's no other answers. There's nothing else.
I agree with you. Isn't that crazy? When it comes to Bol Bol, it's like, hey, he came in for 5 minutes, 1-of-1 from the field, 2 points and a rebound, and we never see him again. Why? Like, he's the one guy off the bench who's been providing consistent scoring and at least productive minutes. And again, going back to what I said, playing with some give a shit.
Yes.
He plays with some give a shit. So put him out there. They're like, no. We'll put out Ish Wainwright. We'll put out Eric Gordon. I mean, I just don't know what's going on with this team right now. The road trip's over. We went 2-2. I guess it's not the worst thing in the world that they went 2-2, but efforts like this just remind you how far off the Suns are, how unbelievably not close they are to just different levels of team. So, subreddit stakeout.
What?
Fuck it.
Already?
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout. Yeah, I can feel my blood boiling a little bit. Just do it like that. Don't even read.
You look like the end of subreddit stakeout.
It's like a. Yeah.
I do just look like I can't even do the accent. Yeah, right. Oh, so Krivy Crawley. Yeah, I want to rub one out to me. I got a hat, and look me right in the eyes. Big blue eyes over here.
Creepy Crawly, it's like 4 a.m. your time, dude.
Pinch my nipples, huh?
It's like 4 a.m. in Australia. Go back to bed, you nerd.
Well, it's a perfect time to rub one out.
See Buck Stabar. Give Valley Girl a piggy snout and we're good.
You know what? I got that. But, so I guess I can't be... Miss Piggy, Wayne's World. I don't know what's going on.
All of my dreams are coming true. Piggy, there you are. I've been looking for you everywhere.
Oh, where is it? I don't know how she talks. All right, so let me just do this really quick. So not the passive-aggressive backhand and compliments-filled halftime show. I don't even know what's going on with the halftime show at all.
Like, oh, it's because they just dog everyone gets cut the whole time. They're like,
it's just... Who's the chick on there? Malika Andrews?
Yeah, it's just, it's horrible TV. Ugh, it's horrible
so
TV.
So bad.
It is so
bad. I literally can't stand ESPN. Holy shit, their halftimes are atrocious. Like I just said, everyone's cutting everybody off. Someone get Bob Myers a hot blanket and a can of Chunky. He's clearly distraught and disheveled. I just don't understand, he says. How many times did he say that? I just don't understand this Phoenix Suns team. I know, no one does. We don't either. Get better analysis, though. I can get away with that. They're showing off a trophy right at halftime. Top tier troll job. Did you see that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty nice of them.
Yep.
Bradley, no trade clause. Beal, the 39th game of the season, showcasing why the Suns made a huge mistake. He's played so good today, dude. If we traded Booker and just had Beal, I'd be okay with it right now. Lol, Hubie calling 34, excuse me. Louis, Hubie calling a 35-foot logo three high percentage shot. It was when
it was.
Dayton ends the game. And that's actually all I had. I totally forgot to go back in there. So
the Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
I'm just so over it today. I'm sorry, Jamsters. You deserve better. But I'm just, I
got a
baseball draft tomorrow. Like, I got to research
that.
Fantasy baseball draft.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Keeper league, dude.
So I was thinking today, I'm like, what if I told you that I'm probably not going to play fantasy football? Would that be heartbreaking?
It would be a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see. Maybe right now I'm just not in the mood. So I'll think about it later.
Maybe
I'll get excited later.
Maybe right now you're not in the mood, but you know, once like, the draft starts coming around, you start getting excited about it. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'll save that for later.
You just got to. You just got to.
Jam star of the game.
All right, Jamsters, a reminder. Suns suck. Jam star. Grayson Allen? Bradley Beal, what do you got? What do you got?
I'm gonna give it to Bradley Beal. Let me say this: if I want two guys to really just, especially one guy, maybe Grayson Allen should fill the position of KD in a way to where you run more plays for him. This guy is just incredible this year. Run more plays for him. Stick KD in the corner. Bring him slowly back into games and stuff like that. Don't start off with KD anymore. I don't even know what I'm saying. Okay, I don't even know, because obviously that doesn't make any sense. I'm just a little pissed off, but we need more Grayson Allen.
I tweeted, should the Suns build around Grayson Allen? Bradley Beal gets my jam star. I like the aggressiveness in which he played. I really like that he is penetrating as much as he is. That doesn't sound right. His willingness to penetrate is opening up this and unlocking multiple layers of the Suns offense. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And he's the one guy who kind of consistently can do it. And he makes the right decision. Like if there's an opportunity to lay it in, he'll go for it. But he does the old Steve Nash wraparound from time to time. And I like that too. I wish Booker would do that a little bit more. Booker will go in there, and when he's stuck, he'll look for a fucking foul call. And guess what? The fouls aren't coming because the officials are locking down on that stuff. And the Suns need to adjust to that as well. They need to get a little bit more physical. Stop being so finesse. If you can get away with some fouls right now because they're not calling them, guess what? You can do it too. Okay? So I just grit.
Booker and KD, they care too much, and it frustrates me. I think KD and his relationship with the refs today, of him just kind of trying to get those whistles towards the end of the game, getting the whistles towards the end of the game, just kind of frustrates me, where it's like, you're getting back in the game and you're settling for these shots against Patrick Beverly where you're fading way back. It's kind of like kind of the worst shots possible at the moment, especially when you only have 11 points at that time. It's like, move the ball around. That's what I'm saying. Focus more on Grayson Allen and move the ball through him than KD, where it kind of gets stuck in those situations where you're on a run. It's just like, you got to continue to feed the ball to everybody else. They had 35 assists tonight as a team, which is fucking, I feel like, great.
Yeah.
And they can continue to build on that. It's just, the ball continues to get stuck, and Booker and KD are having their own little fits with themselves, where it just becomes, you know, so selfish in a way. It's like, you have guys on this team that want to fucking play as a team. It's just, you're not doing that. You're not doing your part.
So C Buckstabar is in the chat, and it's a long time since I've seen you in the chat. You must be in a place where you don't get, or you're not around for the games at night, because you always have great comments. Says they need to stop bitching about it. Yeah, coach, refs letting them hit you, then hit them too. I agree with both of those statements, you know, and you're right. They need to stop bitching about it. They need to stop complaining about it. You know, they just need to go down and execute. And I'm not overly frustrated with the offensive execution of this game today. And I know a lot of people are going to be really frustrated because they see that KD went 4 of 10 and had 11 points. The Suns scored .129 tonight. They look great. They had 28 from Beal. They had 25 from Allen. They had 23 from Book. They got 16 off the bench from Royce O'Neal. I'm not frustrated with this offense. Is KD in a little slump right now? Sure. It's who they are as leaders on the defensive end that I'm fucking pissed about. Allowing 148, allowing guys to be wide the fuck open. Where Hubie Brown's out there, it's like, he's taking another wide open one, because that's all they were doing the whole time. Like, you can't allow that. They were getting clowned on by Hubie fucking Brown because they were allowing guys wide open. That's where I need KD. That's where I need Book to step up as the leader of these teams and own the defensive end. Not sit there and get frustrated because they passed off one of their defenders to somebody who wasn't there because they were in the correct position and you weren't. It drives me nuts. So, again, Go Suns. IT, Sunside IT. I'm just transitioning around all over the place. Sunside Isaiah Thomas, 9 years after we let him go. Thoughts, yeah. Matthew?
I couldn't believe it. I could. Me and I saw some stat, like 30 plus points in 6 straight games or something from G League. But
3.
I mean, does someone think it's going to be, he's going to be a savior for this team? I don't think so.
No, I think it's a good sign. Like, so I went on briefly with the Aussie Suns fan podcast last night when I was grilling some asparagus, and it was right after the signing. They're like, what did you think? And I was like, well, whatever. And the way that I look at it is the Suns had a need. They had an open roster spot, and it's a 10-day contract. So they're bringing Isaiah Thomas, who's a point guard, somebody who is going to play with energy and perhaps grit and come off the bench if called upon to provide some assistance. Definitely not defensively, but it's better than nothing, and it's better than Saben Lee, in my opinion. So bring him in, let him try it out. If he gives you a little spark as needed, great. If not, it's low risk, like medium reward. He's not going to do anything crazy for you, but I think that it's a decent signing. I'm not against it. I think I've kind of come around to it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't think it really matters, but I liked how when we got Ish, Wainwright, you know, they're like, oh, it's good leadership, or it's like, I don't think there's anything there either. I don't. This is just a fucked up season. I fucking hate it.
If you need good leadership and you got Devin Booker and Kevin Durant on your team, you are fucked, buddy.
Yeah.
You should be pinched right in the nipples for not wearing green. So that's all the energy I got. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think it's funny. You know, the mid-range game the Suns have versus the threes, they've been getting killed by threes lately. Even when you try to go mid-range, when Middleton's in the game, Middleton could just take out the Suns. Middleton just competed with the Suns there in the third quarter where they try to go blow for blow, but Middleton's just like kind of taking over there and countering anything the Suns were trying to do offensively. So it's crazy how good this Bucks team is offensively.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're without Giannis, obviously, but just Middleton's Bobby just, Portis goes for, still, dude.
Bobby Portis took the, he was Giannis today, 31 and 10. He put up a Giannis stat line.
Yeah, I filled that in for him. Yeah.
Ay, Dios mío. Drives me crazy. Well, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Sorry we weren't better, but you know what? Neither were the Suns, so fuck it. We play Wednesday at home against the 76ers, so we will see you then, Jam Stars. Until then, Matthew, tell them what they can go do.
Family.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.